Hi, this is Marv Wolfman, creator of Deathstroke and Bullseye and Teen Titans and many others, and you're listening to the Fandom Podcast.
Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 161. This is the show that brings together geeks and nerds from across the Fandomverse to analyze the news and discuss your favorite TV, movies, comics, and books. This is the news roundup for the first week of April 2018. But first, joining us this week, we have legendary anchorman Nick English.
You stay classy, Fandomaniacs.
And with the FML update is Jeff Dumas.
Rest in peace, Dark Phoenix.
And joining us this week, for the very first time, we have the co-founder of Wasatch Comic Con, Roger Prowse. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, this is where I talk. All right.
And then live from the Fandomverse, I am Brandon Ushio. So,
and he could have talked whenever he wanted. You don't have to wait for Brandon to finish. I do it all the time.
I know. So, Roger, you're in for, let's call it a treat.
All right.
It's not October. We're good. So, we're glad to have you here. One of the co-founders of Wasatch Comic Con, where we've been talking about it for a while, and we thought we'd bring you on this week to guest on this episode and the next. So,
yeah, right on.
All right, let's jump into the news. Sponsored by William. Head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast to find out more. Our very first news story, we've got a comic story, finally. It's been kind of a drought. Our first news story is that the Fantastic Four, the first family of Marvel, is coming back with a regular series. They kind of were blacklisted. No, they not kind of. Like, people admitted they were full-on blacklisted at Marvel after that Fan-Four-Stick movie came out.
You mean that Oscar-worthy film, the Fan-Four-Stick?
Yes.
I'm kidding.
Yes.
That it deserved nothing. It deserved none of the money.
I think it was the Razzie Award show.
I think there was at least one dude named Oscar that thought it was pretty good.
Oscar's Award. Yeah, that makes sense. So around the same time that Disney and Fox are starting to play nice together, with Disney saying, hey, Fox, take all of our money. Actually, not all of our money, because Disney owns the world at about this point. But take a big chunk of money. The Fantastic Four is coming back into a comic run. It's been a few years since Marvel blew up their 616 and had Reed Richards and Sue Storm fly off, and for some reason they kept Johnny Storm and Ben Grimm, but they're bringing them all back. What do you guys think about Marvel bringing back their first family?
Cool.
All right, so I've always felt that there's something missing in the Marvel universe, and now it's come back. Because the Fantastic Four were such an integral part of like everything that I really feel like they've been missing so much in the MCU. And it's like, no, because they're so involved in everything that it just seems like the world is going to be right again. Also, the Cobra has decided that his favorite superhero is Ben Grimm now. He saw a picture of him inside of a sticker book that we have, and he's like, who's this guy? And I said, that's the Thing, Ben Grimm. And he's like, why is he orange? And I said, he's rocks. And he's like, that's awesome. And so now he just always wants to watch the one episode in Superhero Squad that has the Fantastic Four. That's the only one he'll watch, because he wants to watch for the Thing. It's really,
you know,
kind of funny.
I loved rocks as a kid too. It makes sense.
He loves him, and he says it's clobbering time, and it's the greatest thing ever. So we might have to record it so that you guys can hear the joy that is in that beautiful melodic tone.
Roger, you are a co-owner of a comic book store. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, to one hand, it's about time. On the other hand, you know, I think, yeah, it is a little coincidental, the timing. I don't know that it's much more than coincidental, because honestly, it really fits into a lot of the publishing narrative that I've heard coming out of Marvel execs when I was at the different luncheons and stuff with them the last couple of months, about like they're really making a push in more ways than this to get back to a lot of the classic characters and making them really more of a focus point. And you know, I think it'll be a mixed bag. I think that that's in some ways that's a little bit of a dangerous road, because I feel like they've built so much on some of these new modern characters, and I'm worried they're going to overshadow the fan base they've created. You know, it'll go back to sitting on a shelf and selling 3 copies a month, and and we'll all forget it happened in 3 months. You know, I mean, when it got canceled, there was a reason for it. It was one of their worst selling titles. You know, I mean, they've got a good creative team on it. You know, Dan Slott's taking over the writing. His name's always gonna pull in some readers. But when it's all said and done, the Fantastic Four just aren't what they used to be.
I think they might be able to do, you know, a little bit more. Because, I mean, so here's the thing with, and we can talk about this for a minute, but the Marvel had Brian Michael Bendis move from being their head guy over to working at DC. And so Marvel brought up C.B. Cebulski to be the editor-in-chief there. And he decided, or I guess they decided, but he's the one who made the announcement, so I'm going to attribute it to him, that they are going to focus their strategy on four pillars: new series, new creative teams, new beginnings, and new directions. I see where you're coming from with, like, well, maybe it's, you know, they've built so much on these previous characters, but if they are deciding to go with, you know, new creative teams and new beginnings and new directions, you know, Fantastic Four, they're ripe for a new beginning.
Sure. Well, like I said, that's what I'm saying, is the timing really makes sense from an editorial standpoint for it to happen right now. I think it's a good decision. I think it's a good idea. I think there's a tendency among people to think that it's like groundbreaking, or it's, you know, it's a really huge deal. And realistically, I just don't think in the modern age that, you know, Fantastic Four is that big of a deal anymore. Like I said, I think you'll have a big launch, you'll have a bunch of hype around it, and 6 months later, I think that most of your comic shops will get one or two shelf copies and have maybe a hold or two, and we're gonna have it just kind of start to you know, kind of buzz on like it was before.
So what you're saying is the valuable issue is not going to be issue 1 through 5, but issue 6. All right, I'm gonna have to stock up about 50 of those.
I'll say the valuable issue is probably not gonna exist.
Oh, dang it. My kids have to go to college somehow.
No, actually, you know what? The value is in what you get from reading it.
Spoken like a true comic book store owner.
There you are.
Oh, Jeff, what do you think about this? Have you ever been into the Fantastic Four, or is your exposure all movies?
It's pretty much all movies. I got digitally because I didn't want to commit a Fantastic Four comic a while ago. And it just, like, didn't draw my attention at all. So it's like, well, I don't need this anymore. And then it was about that same time that they pretty much just canceled every Fantastic Four title anyway. So it's just like, okay, I guess it wasn't meant to be. I mean, it's cool that now there's more stuff to work with. But at the same time, stuff gets canceled for a reason. And if it was more than just being a political, we can't make your movie, so we won't make your comics, if it was canceled for more than that, then it was canceled for a reason.
Let's not forget at the same time that this was canceled, Deadpool was ramped up and put into more titles than just about any other Marvel character. So I don't think it was just about movie rights.
All right. So I'm looking at this. Dan Slott, he wrote Spider-Man for years. He's probably one of the longest writers on Spider-Man.
I think he is the longest. I could be wrong, but I think he is.
He had a Silver Surfer that people absolutely loved. And so I think, you know, what Jeff said, the story just didn't draw him in. I think Dan Slott can probably do that. He's been really, like, I've really enjoyed his run on Spider-Man. And I think moving that over to, you know, the Fantastic Four is probably a good idea. And then they've got Sarah Pichelli on there, who was the original artist for Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man. So, I mean, it makes sense that Dan Slott's going to grab a spider family artist to bring into this, but I think it'll be good. I'm going to have hope that they can make a Fantastic Four book series that's as good as The Incredibles.
But we already have The Incredibles. Why would we need a Fantastic Four? We've got Pixar's first family versus Marvel's first family.
I know The Incredibles years and years aren't. And years for sequels for Incredibles.
Yeah,
I'm sure this makes me a really bad comic nerd, but I think The Incredibles is the better of the two.
Yeah,
The Incredibles is the aspirational goal.
Yeah, they're. I feel like to an extent it was ready to end.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that's probably good with the Fantastic Four. So with moving on to our next news story. Okay, so this is like a hot button topic, pet peeve of mine that just makes me mad. But there was a lot of stuff involved with fandom around it. Just recently we had April Fool's Day. I can't stand April Fool's Day. Not because I don't like a good joke. I like good jokes. But I hate how now that it's moved to the internet, nobody cleans up after themselves. And they leave their joke stories up there forever. And nobody notices it until like a month later or 2 days later when they go to report and be like, hey, this rumor looks really really serious, or this news story really happened. So, you know, the one that got me the worst, and I'm actually going to have to do a retraction on Fandom 5 for this, is comicbookmovie.com put out an article saying that Joss Whedon was at AwesomeCon and just dished on Justice League and on Warner Brothers and on Batgirl. And all of the quotes and everything like that sounded so good and so much like, hey, that actually could have happened, that I didn't notice that there was a tiny image at the bottom of the article that all it was a calendar with April 1st highlighted. That's all. That was their entirety of their, hey, this is a joke. And I found this a day after April 1st. So I'm, you know what? Great. You put it out there on April 1st and it's funny. But by the time April 2nd rolls around, it's the internet. It's not hard to take down a website. You just want the extra clicks and the extra ad impressions. And so which April Fool's Day jokes did you guys see that you enjoyed or disliked?
The only one that really got me was a YouTube Minecraft thing that I follow. It said, hey, we're moving our channel to join forces with this guy. Our first video link is in the description. Go and check it out. And the whole time they're doing this, the guy they're joining channels with is going, wait, I didn't agree to this. What are you talking about? And when you click on the link, of course, it was Rick Astley. So that's past that is like I stopped believing in stuff from the internet. Then again, it's the internet. I don't generally believe it anyway.
Good call.
So I mean, like, I'm gonna that one I'm not as upset about because hey, their link took you to. Yeah. Rick Astley, the only way that, I mean, so they had that calendar on the comic book movie website. They had that calendar, and the only way that I was able to verify that it was an April Fool's joke was I went to AwesomeCon's website and saw that Joss Whedon was not a guest there. And so, Nick, did you find it? Did you see any April Fool's Day jokes, or did
so
you?
So the only one that I saw. Dark? Like, I kind of went internet dark that day just because I don't like, I'm the same as you, Brendan. I'm just like, okay, fine. But I was on Reddit and I was strolling past a video game that I play called Stardew Valley, which probably none of you play. It's a fun game. It's kind of like Harvest Moon, if you ever played that on Game Boy. It's basically Harvest Moon, just a lot better. And they've been promoting.
Ooh, them's fighting words. I've never played either of them. I just.
My wife's obsessed with that game. Maybe I'll have to have you show me how to get it and look it up.
But basically what happened is the creator, who is working on a multiplayer game version of it that you can play online and stuff, basically released a bunch of notes saying what he was going to do for the update for the multiplayer and what was coming. And it started off being like, okay, and then it just turned into like 10,000 microtransactions for every single thing that you could do. And then he just kind of laughed it off at the end and just like, haha, this is obviously not happening. Thanks, guys. So it was pretty funny because you start reading and then it's like, we're going to do this and you can, you know, buy your this for $5. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess that's okay. And then it starts to keep going and it's like, for 1 hour of watering your garden, you need to pay $5. And that just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. That was about the extent of it. And after that, I was like, oh, yeah, it's April Fool's. All right, let's go play some Stardew Valley and not look at the internet. So that's what I did.
I got in a bit of an argument with my dad about the whole Seth Rogen Netflix thing.
Oh, yeah.
Seth Rogen Netflix Anatomy, owning, yeah. Buying all rights to his autonomy.
Yeah, so him and my dad and my brother were talking about it, and he was saying, yeah, I saw something about that today. I wonder what it is. And I just look at him and go, you saw it today? Yeah, today. I saw it this morning. He started getting mad, not realizing what I meant by you saw it today.
Which is funny because he posted on a thing that I put on Facebook talking about how I didn't like all the April Fool's jokes and saying, well, I just don't believe anything I read on the internet anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember they put Where's Waldo on Google Maps. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they did that. So your brother and your dad did not believe you that it was not?
Until we watched it, and then it's like, oh, well, that's clearly Jeff Goldblum's voice. So this is clearly a parody.
What bugged me about that one is that it was an advertisement for a... it basically turned into an advertisement for a short... or for a comedy special that he was doing on Netflix.
That's just being smart with it.
you have to understand, Brandon loathes Seth Rogen. He can't.
Jeez.
Oh, so speaking of people using April 1st as marketing, Roger, did WashatsCon do anything?
We may have, yeah.
The other one that I knew.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually was a little bit worried if we'd pull it off. I feel like doing it online, especially when you have something like that, is really tough to actually pull it off to where people kind of believe it. And I feel like we actually, I don't know, there was a kind of a twisted portion of me that saw people starting to get really excited with my teaser announcement and got really happy that I was going to disappoint them the next day. When we teased out that we were getting a celebrity aisle and we had big celebrity announcements coming. And, you know, luckily no one got angry with us. But if you guys want to see it, anyone that's listening, go on to the Wasatch Comic Con Facebook page, and you can see our amazing celebrity row lineup for this year.
You got Wilson there. I mean,
ew.
Who doesn't want to see the hand print on a volleyball?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And Robert, that one's my favorite. Yeah, Robert's from, I don't know if you guys have seen, or any of you are a fan of awful horror movies, but...
The tire from Rubber?
The tire from Rubber, yes.
I've seen Rubber.
I didn't know he had a name.
Yes, his name is Robert.
Weird movie.
I adore that movie way more than I should.
Okay, so, I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to be very disappointed if you don't have a table set up with... a red balloon and a volleyball and a tire.
Can I tell you a secret? That's actually the plan. No, we legitimately passed it off that it was just an April Fool's thing, but we're going to set one up and then post up that people can come and get their picture taken with them.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's awesome.
I, you know what though? There actually may be people who would be interested in that. So
yeah, just something fun.
I would make sure you put a disclaimer that these are not actually props from the show. Yes.
they're the Wasatch Con stand-ins.
I feel like
they're cosplayers.
I feel like if I have to put that disclaimer up, then they have to put the same disclaimer on the Santa thing in the mall when Christmas comes around.
Why?
You're not Santa.
You smell like beef and cheese.
You sit on a throne of lies.
All right. Well, just real quick before our time's up on this one. There are a couple other ones that I saw. Slash Film had Ken Jeong from Community was cast to play an adult short film or short round in the Indiana Jones film.
Oh, that one's fake.
You know what? I would have actually been okay with that.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is not going to do a musical adaptation of Tommy Wiseau's The Room. I mean, if anyone could do it, it'd be him, right? Dave Filoni did not announce a new Star Wars cartoon called Imperials. That was a 501st Legion April Fool's joke. Tom Holland is not going to be Ferris Bueller in a reboot. Let's see.
You should really be saving this for a game.
Well, I can use them. You guys will forget.
Yeah, that's really so. Really the worst part about all this is they seem to do things that everybody really wants.
I know. I would buy that Lego vacuum in a second. It would vacuum up the Legos and automatically sort them based on shape and color.
Yeah, done.
Dude, I just use the vacuum.
$1,000, here you go.
Like, not even if they were there. I just start hosing them all up and be like, okay, now they're color coordinated. I'm good with this.
Brandon, I know you told your wife you wouldn't do any more businesses, but, you know, get on that Lego vacuum.
Yeah, I could be a millionaire for that one. Okay, so... the last one that I absolutely loved was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Twitter account, at TMNT, posted a brand new reveal of a theme song for their cartoon. And it was they took clips from the 2003 Turtles and made a theme song based off of used the Golden Girls theme song to make an intro for it. It was hilarious. It was absolutely
I just thought
hilarious.
Of one more that I remember seeing. I remember seeing that BritBox said that they were going to add an option where you could dub over the British shows with American accents. That was pretty funny.
Finally, I can understand
I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, I want to see Sherlock with the hard R's.
Arr.
You mean Dr. Strange?
Martin Freeman.
You need to have Cumberbatch do it, though. Like, he has to...
Well, that's Dr. Strange, so we watch Dr. Strange and then Black Panther. I'm okay with both of those things.
Dormammu.
Dormammu.
That's
a really hard word for a British person to say. Dormammu and bargain.
I have a bargain.
Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
All right, so speaking of April Fool's jokes and things that we wish might have been April Fool's jokes, the CW has renewed 10 of their series.
You're saying this is a bad thing? Is this what you're...
Some of them. They've renewed 10 of their series, including Riverdale, Supernatural, and the DC Comics shows. The one that I'm like, really, it needs to die, but I guess it has died and then come back and then died and then come back and then died and then somebody brought it back again, was this Supernatural show. I mean, oh my gosh. Like, after the fifth season, they wrapped it up beautifully at the end of the fifth season. And then I watched for three more seasons, and I'm like, oh, this is getting worse and worse and worse. Although I do want to watch the Scooby Natural episode.
Scooby Natural. Mm.
The joint. Yeah. Why would you not want to watch that?
Ruby Roo. Yeah, I watched Supernatural for like 7 episodes, and I was like, oh no, I watched the whole season into season 2, and I was just like, this is not for me. Never got
yeah,
it.
Same. I watched all of season 1 and
didn't grab me.
See, this was an early episode of the podcast where we talked about the first 5 seasons all in one sitting. That was a long episode before you two were
a glint in your eye. So,
yes. I don't know. So, I mean, I'm looking at this. Riverdale is based off of a comic book. Arrow is based off of a comic book. Legends of Tomorrow is kind of based off of a comic book. The Flash is based off of a comic book. Supergirl is based off of a comic book. Black Lightning is based off of a comic book. And then you got Jane the Virgin, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and Dynasty.
I do like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend
ironically,
a lot.
They are all
show.
Also based on comic books. They're weird.
Is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend really a CW show? I didn't think that was on CW, but I guess it is.
It's a CW show.
I only watch it online, so
yep.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Huh. So we still don't have any decisions about Life Sentence, Valor, iZombie, and the 100. No. iZombie is based off of a comic book, and
it's also
is
written by the same person that did Veronica Mars.
So, yeah.
Lena likes that show.
I was just surprised Arrow and Legends got picked up again. Those are the shows. Well, I guess we knew Legends because they announced Constantine a while ago, but yeah, we forgot to talk about
Arrow season 7. Like,
are they just trying to get their 100 episodes or whatever? Or are we? We're well past that.
Already done that.
I mean, they have like 33 episodes in every season or something ridiculous like that. Well, I think it's 20.
The tagline for the next season of Arrow is just Arrow. Okay, he's actually Batman. Just he'll be Batman now. Okay, calm down.
Okay, so Roger, you have ins with comic book creators. How do they feel about these stepchildren that have been created on the CW?
Most of the time, they're all for it. Most of the time, they love. You know, I find that creative people a lot of times enjoy other people's creativity, right? So, I mean, most of the time, they like seeing where people go with it. I think the best thing, it was Jim Zub wrote on Twitter just a little while ago. And I'm totally going to paraphrase it. I'm sure I'm going to butcher it. But essentially he wrote that he had someone come to him with an idea for a comic to hire him to write it so that they could adapt it for a TV show. And he responded on Twitter brilliantly. And he basically said, we write comics, we enter into comics because we love comics. This is not to degrade TV show. A lot of us do TV. You know, you talk about the 100, actually a lot of people don't know that the writers on that show, the head writers on that actually write comic books. They're phenomenal writers for comic books as well. So a lot of that has a lot of bleed over and a lot of crossover. He said, but comic books are a medium of themselves, and comic books are not your jumping on point. They are something of their own, and they should be allowed to be something of their own. And that got a ton of buzz among the comic community and the creator community. That seemed to be very, very widely believed and kind of applauded. And I had actually Matt Hawkins, who's another one of our guests at the show, had a book where something similar came. They approached him just so that they could make a movie out of it. And you know, all of them, I think, are kind of this attitude like, yeah, I mean, there's good things about it. Having more people, you know, look at comic book franchises, get some into comic books, allows people starting to get into independent books that way and learn about new things. And a lot of these guys end up ultimately, you know, writing for these shows and doing this as their work. And they feel passionately about that as well, as long as people don't forget that comics are there, comics exist for their own purposes, and that they're not just a, you know, a farm league
or a free marketing.
Yes. Tactic. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Season zero issues of the comics and 1.5.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, no, I'd really, if you guys get the chance, and it wasn't too long ago, it was a couple weeks ago, I think I may have even shared it on the Wasatch Kind. Actually, I know I did. Go back, scroll back, and go to Jim Zub, who's a very good comic writer in his own right, and read his response, because it was put much, much more succinctly than I just did, but it was outstanding.
I guess that makes a lot of sense. We got a chance to interview Marv Wolfman about a year ago now, and I asked him what he thought about the way that Arrow did Deathstroke, mm-hmm. and he absolutely loved it. He said it was a spot on interpretation, which to me, I was like, really? I wouldn't have guessed that you had said that, but you know, based off of what you just said, yeah, I guess they love seeing
George
that
Perez
stuff.
Has said the same thing. I actually talked to George Perez, you know, before his heart attack, and I talked to him a little bit briefly about some. By the way, when you talk to George Perez, you don't talk to him about it. He just brings it up because he talks the whole time. He's just one of the chattiest people. He's phenomenal. But he just brought up like, yeah, I love to see what they're doing. He's like, yeah, when we sat down and made these created these characters, we had no idea they'd go anywhere. Well, this was not an age where people thought of comics as something that was going to go somewhere. You were just right making these things because you had fun drawing doodles and you came up with a cool costume, you know? And so he was like, yeah, you know, we created this. I had no idea that any of this type of stuff would happen, and to watch where it's going and watch where it's been and watch where everyone's taking it. He's like, I just love sitting back and watching and seeing what people do with it. I love everything about it. So for the most part, I haven't really seen a lot of creators. I think fans want creators to be more sour because fans have this kind of hang up about, you know, purity and origin and wanting to be pure to a source material, where I don't think most of the creators have that same purity hang up.
You know, it makes me think about like when you're talking about Marvel versus DC, and the creators are like, no, we love both of them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's...
Unless they sign an exclusive contract, then, you know.
They will still say they love both
of
them.
Yeah, no, I was kidding.
They won't do any work for the other, but they'll say they love the other
one. Most of the time, yeah, 100%. So. Unless it's Garth Ennis, and then he just hates both of them.
Well, you know, there's always got to be those people.
So. Well, and why would you say something bad about potential future work, even if you have signed an exclusive contract
for X
amount of time? Like, it's just smart. I mean,
yeah, 100%. 100%.
Even if you hate working with one of them.
I mean, if Brian Michael Bendis had been complaining about DC, he would not have been able to write on Superman 1000.
I mean, realistically, he probably still would have.
Okay, he's good.
They would have
waved
a bunch of cash, like, and he would have went, you know, you guys are all right on second thought. You know.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the almighty dollar, right?
Right. Hey, these guys work for a living, man. And the dirty little secret about comics, and this is not every Bendis is actually, I think, one of the real exceptions to this, you know, speaking of him. But, you know, the dirty little secret is most of these guys grow up and they read these different characters and they grow up on superheroes, a lot of them, and they kind of cut their teeth in comics, a lot of them. But a lot of them really don't enjoy writing the superhero books as much. I mean, I've talked to 100 guys that are, you know, I'm not going to name names on this one, but that are writing for huge name superheroes who are like, yeah, it was cool for an arc, you know, like I had an arc I want to do and that kind of stuff, but I stuck around because this is where you make the money, you know, and my independent stuff I write is where my passion goes. And, you know, and a lot of this is stuff you know, I'm sure there's people listening thinking about stories they felt were phoned in. I mean, some of the one of the guys I have in mind is writing one of the most well-received books in the world right now for DC Comics. And he was just like, yeah, I mean, I do good work, but that's not where my heart's at, you know?
Well, I mean, you look at it, so you're not going to name names, but I will say, I don't, because I don't know anything, I'll say you look at like Jason Aaron, and, you know, he's writing Thor and a ton of other Marvel stuff, but you look at what he is doing indie-wise over with Image.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, his independent stuff's incredible.
It's great work, and none of them are tights or capes.
Nope, and comics in general are much more than tights and capes.
Right. But that's what he's working on and making a lot of money
and doing a great job. Again, it's not like he's phoning that in. It's one of the best Thor runs that's ever been written.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot to get people to enjoy Thor, and he's definitely done that for
100%.
Then there's also, I always want to say Zack Snyder, not Zack Snyder, Scott Snyder.
No, Zack.
So, I mean, you look. Yeah, Zack Snyder, you know, he moved over from the movies to the... Well, the problem is they're both working on Batman, right?
Yep.
But you look at Zack... Or not, did it again. You look at Scott Snyder's run on Witches, which is his own creator-owned. That is definitely not superhero-themed. It's not Batman-themed at all.
Well, and prior to Batman, Snyder had done a lot of other creator-owned stuff that's outstanding as well. So, I mean, Witches is the most recent example of that. But you go back and you look at American Vampire, and then before that was I just totally lost the other book that I was thinking of, but yeah, he's done a lot of other really well received and really well done independent books.
So I mean, it seems to me like Marvel and DC is where you go to make a paycheck, but Image is where you go to do your passion.
Yeah. And I think there are some guys that really just want to do it for superheroes. I mean, I think those guys are out there. I really do. So, you know, a lot of them do a really good job. And I think Bendis is one of those guys that I think Dan Slott too, we were talking about him earlier. I think those two guys, I mean, they really seem to enjoy superhero. They're prolific with it. They've done it for a very long time. You know, they have some creator on stuff, but they're not really, you know, as much as a lot of other guys are. So, you know, I get the impression that those guys really, that's what they enjoy. But a lot of them, that's what pays the rent. And then the rest of it they can do and kind of get their other creative juices out.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned Bendis. His creator owned stuff is like Powers. Yeah. It was, which they made on the PlayStation Network for a season or two. But he's right where he wants to be. It's really kind of cool to see the things people are doing. I can't say exactly who this is, but there is an artist that was just hired to work on a major comic book character who he was offered. And the reason I can't say this is because their mother told my aunt who told me, and so I don't know how much they want out there. But he was offered a job from both major publishing houses. And, you know, so he could have gone either direction. And he's like, well, if I went with that one, I'd be writing that superhero. And if I go with this one, I'll be writing this superhero. Or not writing, the artist.
Yeah.
I'll be drawing this superhero. And I would rather be drawing this superhero. So all of a sudden, he got to decide which character he was more of a fan of.
No,
he's super excited about
that. Definitely comes into play. I mean, again, I don't want to downplay that a lot of these guys, almost all of them really, are legitimately superhero fans. Like, they are into it. You know, but when it comes down to it, I think a lot of them, or if not all of them, would still write or draw for what they're doing. I just don't necessarily know that the balance would be the same.
We're going to move from comics to movies here, although there are comics that are being made into movies. X-Men Dark Phoenix and also New Mutants has been pushed back. New Mutants again has been pushed back. The article on Entertainment Weekly starts out saying X-Men Dark Phoenix has flown the coop. So they've been pushed back to 2019. So Jeff is thrilled about what that means for the FML, right?
When are you gonna get Creed 2'd?
Probably there's a high chance of that. Yeah, so Fox, they made a bunch of announcements and a lot of shuffles where they moved things like Bohemian Rhapsody, which is a Freddie Mercury biopic, and they moved that to where Dark Phoenix was supposed to be on November 2nd. And New Mutants, which is an X-Men spinoff, was moved from February 22nd to August 2nd, 2019, which is nearly an entire year after it was originally supposed to come out. And they are adding a whole nother character into the reshoots on that one.
Did you hear one of the rough drafts for that was to have John Hamm play Mr. Sinister?
Is that verified? Because that sounds too perfect.
No, it was like a it was a rumor that they wanted. Oh, it's okay. It's not what they did. It was a possibility of what they could.
Gotcha.
And I heard about it before April Fool's.
Mr. Sinister would have been a really cool role for John Hamm. Too bad that was just like rumors.
Yeah.
We know you're listening. Make it happen.
No, it's Warner Brothers that listens.
Lots of important people listen to this. So I want somebody to make a list and keep track of all of these people that should be listening.
No, they are. It's not that they should be.
I'll tell you, if you're listening, just let us know.
So, okay, with X-Men Dark Phoenix, they said, like, the actors in their interviews said that, you know what, we're being pushed back because they looked at the story and they thought, you know what, we're focusing too much on special effects and CG and stuff like that. We should add more story. I mean, that sounds good to me, but is that something you could add after the fact? What do you guys think about that?
Add some more plot development in the middle of a simple story? I don't know. I guess you could do backstory. And explain the characters better.
Okay, so my concern about that is got with Suicide Squad.
You mean a perfect film? I can't even finish that sentence. I apologize. Continue.
They made lots of money, and I guess that's the only thing that we're judging things off of. So they made lots of money, so they were a success, right?
That's why they keep making 50 Shades movies.
Well, they had to finish.
So,
the
I mean, part of what's wrong... They had a trilogy there. I mean, it was free money. Come on. At least they didn't split the last one into two parts. So, but, you know, so Suicide Squad, they had most of the movie filmed and ready to go and stuff like that. And then didn't that come out about the same time as Guardians of the Galaxy?
I don't know. No, Guardians movies came out in May.
That was August.
Yeah, Suicide Squad.
Suicide was in August.
It might have been...
It was later.
Might have been slated for May.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was originally supposed to be around at the same time.
And then they put out a trailer. Do you guys remember the trailer?
Yeah, and
the
it wasn't
song?
Like anything like the movie was.
And yeah, and everybody loved that trailer. And after that, they were like, whoa, we have to do a lot of reshoots now. And so they added a bunch of backstory. They added a bunch of Batman.
They hardly had any Batman in it anyway. How did they add more?
All the scenes where Batman picked up the bad guys,
both of them,
was the Deadshot and
Harley.
Who else? And Harley. That was Batman. That was reshot.
You guys just didn't see it. He was hiding in the background the whole time, but he's Batman, so you didn't see
Batman.
If he was hiding the whole time, he was not pulling his weight.
He's got skills, man.
So, I mean, these reshoots, though, they added a bunch of stuff, and it felt like there were two movies. Justice League, it felt like there were two movies. Even though, like, I enjoyed Justice League, as I watched it, I was like, that's a Snyder scene, that's a Whedon scene.
That's a little different when you actually switch directors, though. That's a little more extreme.
Well, fair enough, but you could still feel like that's a studio mandated reshoot, and that's a David Ayer's scene with Suicide Squad. So, I mean, eventually they've made all of their money back, but it was a terrible movie, and it damaged the franchise.
And that being said, though, there's been a lot of great movies that have had reshoots and get pushed back too. So it's not exactly a death kill.
Yeah, it's not a kiss of death, but it is still not. Sure. It's not a good sign. I mean, to be fair, both Rogue One and Episode 9 had a bunch of reshoots to it. Those weren't polarizing movies. Still felt like the same movie.
Every fan loved
polarizing doesn't mean bad, though.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. Polarizing. I'll take a polarizing movie over Suicide Squad any day. Suicide Squad was not polarizing unless you.
It was universally awful.
Hey, it was passable. Yes, I saw it twice in theaters. I own it.
Oh, really?
Because it was like $2 at NPS.
I'm not joking when I say this. For me, that was Catwoman bad.
Halle Berry bad.
For me, Suicide Squad's probably the worst superhero movie. It's Batman and Robin, Catwoman.
Even better than Fantastic Four, huh?
I would gladly watch Fantastic Four 6 times before I'd watch Suicide Squad again.
Mm. Fantastic Four 2 as well. Rise of the Silver Surfer.
That's a fine movie.
I'd watch all 3 of the last Fantastic Four movies.
Ooh, you're going to Fanforstic even, huh?
What about
the early one in the 90s?
Yeah, the one that was never supposed to be shown.
Load me up. If I don't have to watch Suicide Squad again, man, like I'll marathon that thing.
What about the Daredevil movie from the 90s, 80s, or 90s?
Yeah, I've never seen it, so sure. Yeah, I'll watch that.
You need to watch.
You've never seen the Ben Affleck Daredevil
movie? No, not that one. There's one before that my dad watched. My dad made me watch when I was a little kid. We used to watch it all the time. I remember specifically the really cool scene at the end was that they, you know, put the lights out and then they turn on the sprinklers and then he can see everything and they show what he can see and it's really cool. Yeah, there's an old Daredevil movie probably from the 80s sometime that me and my dad watched.
I wonder if it was like a TV adaptation or something.
Maybe,
like that.
I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
I've never seen the Affleck one either, so I'd watch all of that. I'd watch all of that. Ooh, before Suicide Squad.
So what I'm hearing is that when you have a free day, we can get you a movie marathon going.
I think I just figured out a panel for WasatchCon.
All right, it says 1989 Daredevil with Rex Smith.
The guy's going places. You better watch out.
Okay, well, I think that is our news for this week. If you guys want more news stories and news headlines, if this is not enough for you, head over to anchor.fm/fandom5 and subscribe to that show there. On that show, I take 5 fandom news stories 5 days a week, and it's 5 minutes or less. So you get in, you get out, you get your fandom news. It's pretty good. This one we have a little bit more discussion here on this show. So anchor.fm/fandom5. We had some feedback from last week's episode. We had John Irons who wrote in talking about our comments on...
Oh wait,
no, you're thinking Jeremy Irons. It's Jeremy Irons.
It's
and
cousin.
there was a... He posted on something for us earlier this week, and or no, I was on their show. I was on Cosmic Potato, doing a game of Sci-Fighters, which is kind of a fun game. You guys should check that out, cosmicpotato.com. I'll have links in the show notes. But
I tried to listen to that today, but my boss kept saying, "Get back to work." So yeah.
So I commented on there, said, "Hey, I'm in this show," and somebody said, "John Irons, cousin of Jeremy Irons," and his response was, "If I had a nickel." So yeah, he apparently would be very rich. Anyway, John Irons wrote in and said, "I always watch the next episode, Tabula Rasa, right after watching this one, talking about Once More with Feeling. I feel like they're kind of a set. The first reveals all the secrets. The second begins to deal with all the repercussions." So, and Taylor Iverson, our guest from last week, full-heartedly agreed with him. So that is the feedback that we got this week. If you guys want to send us feedback, there are a bunch of ways you can do that. You can do feedback@fandompodcast.com. Just shoot us an email. You can go to fandompodcast.com/group, and that will redirect you to our Facebook group, which is The Fandomaniacs. And there's a bunch of good discussion going on over there. It's actually made figuring out feedback a lot harder because there's a lot of good discussion over there. Or we're on Twitter @FandomCast. Lots of ways for you to interact with us. But we love getting your feedback. Speaking of getting feedback, you can come give us feedback in person. You can shake your finger in our face and say, "You got this wrong," because I've got a retraction on Fandom 5 to do. We will be at Wasatch Comic Con, you know, some con. I don't know if it's going to be good.
Oh, it's like
or not,
free but... or something. So who knows how good it's going to be.
Roger, go ahead and chime in.
Roger's here. Guys, come on.
I'm just wanting to hear what you got. I like to play incognito and just wait to see what people say. So continue, please.
Because he's Batman and he's just hiding in the background.
That's right. That's right.
How dare you compare him to Batman?
So
I have a Batman tattoo. Does that count?
Where?
No.
on my forearm, man.
Now, if it was the Batman insignia right on the middle of your chest, I would say yes.
He has the Sons of Batman thing tattooed to his face.
It's not hidden, so
it is not hidden. It is right out in the open.
Yeah, so it doesn't count.
He's hiding in plain sight, Nick.
All right,
just like Mater in Cars 2.
Yeah, we're gonna be at Wasatch Comic Con April 27th and 28th. I'm pretty sure we're gonna be on panels, right? Right, Roger?
Charles is doing the panels, but yeah, you should be.
I talked to Charles.
Okay,
I didn't sign up for very many because like all of the things that I was like, yeah, I could do that, you didn't put on the panel list. I'm just saying.
Again.
So there's like maybe like one
Charles
or two.
Is doing the panels.
I was like all right.
That had nothing to do with me.
All right, we're going to have to get Charles on here.
I talked to Charles Saturday. He is working. The panel list is dangerously close.
Didn't he say it was supposed to be posted today?
It was supposed to be. Well, it's going to go into the printer today.
Anytime Charles says a deadline of something to be posted, give it at least 3 weeks.
Three. Okay. All right. I'm good. So like we'll find out the day before.
When I was talking to him, he was saying, I got a lot of work to do, but people are playing HeroClix and you don't know how to play. So come learn how to play HeroClix.
This is what happens when you try to do things with ADD. It's not a good combo.
In the back of your store while people are playing a game you want to play.
All right. So while we are there at Wasatch Comic Con, come find us because we have tickets to give away to go see Infinity War There's kind of a theater right there. So kind of. Well, I guess it's not kind of. There is a theater right there. A little bit after Wasatch Comic Con, we're going to be at Podcast Summit on June 2nd. Stay tuned. We're going to have some ticket giveaways for that. And we're going to be at Pop Culture Con the next week on June 9th. So lots of places to see us. But the best one, because it's free, is Wasatch Comic Con. It has nothing to do with the fact that Roger's on this episode.
And it's also the closest.
We have two confirmed Canadian listeners.
We do?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could confirm Canadian.
Yes.
Well, based on what they post, they're Canadian.
All right. If you make the trip down from Canada, I'll give you something. I don't know what, but we'll find something. I'll give you something free Wolverine related.
I think there's three Canadians, but one of them lives here.
Yeah, but one of them lives here in Utah. So
yeah, but the other Canadians.
Whoa, Kelly.
The other ones can stay with that one because they're all Canadians. So that's how it works, right?
Oh, well, so much for them coming.
You know, those people.
We have many Canadian listeners. Some are more vocal than others.
At least a fourth of our listeners are Canadian.
Yes.
That's impressive.
It's all right.
Very impressive or very sad.
It's a percentage. We're good. Okay, so all right, guys. Last week we forgot to tell you about our random fandom for this month. For the month of April, we are reading We Stand on Guard by Brian K. Vaughan. It's an awesome graphic novel or at least I'm told it's an awesome graphic novel. I have not read that one yet. So we will be recording about that one on April 22nd. So go out to your local comic book store here in Utah. The Nerd Store is a good option.
It is.
And get We Stand on Guard and send us your thoughts on it, and we will share our thoughts on it as well. So, all right, that's April 22nd. So if you want to support the show, you can send us feedback, or you can also head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast and become a patron. We also have affiliate links. And with Audible, CBS, Amazon, we've got all the links in the show notes or on our website. And until next time.
Hail Hydra.
It's okay. I wasn't going to say it anyway. On April 9th, if you start watching an MCU movie a day, you'll end just in time for Infinity War.
This is the part where I talk.
No, this is the part where you stop talking.
Oh, okay. I'm good at that part, too.
May the fandom be with you.
#outtakes. I'm not sure what I just said.
Cool. All right, well, let's jump into the news. This week, it is sponsored. Dang it. Where's the list?
Oh. You're doing so good.
I know.
Oh, lazy hell.
I put the list there for a reason.
Toss up.
I know you do. Are we going down it or up it? We're going down.
I don't remember.
Turn, right? All right.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Is it?
It's William's turn, according to this. Yep.
I mean, I'll take your word for it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were double checking me. All right.
Okay. I was. Last week was Colton. Welcome to the Fandom Movie League Week 12 update. It is the week of April 1st, and here are the scores. With the release of Ready Player One, Brandon has passed the $100 million mark, but unfortunately, it was not enough to change the leaderboard. Speaking of, in third place is Brandon with $108 million. In second place is Nick with $137 million. And in first place is me with $631 million. As you may have heard already, X-Men Dark Phoenix has been Creed 2'd and will not be showing until 2019. That's what I get for rubbing my high score in everyone's faces. And as always, if you want to follow along, you can go to fandompodcast.com/fml18.